Let us pray. Gracious God, illumine these words by your Spirit, that we might hear what you would have us hear and be who you would us be, for the sake of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen. Our Psalter reading this morning is from Psalm 139, verses 1 through 12. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in, behind, and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your Spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and night wraps itself around me, even in the darkness it is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you.
Even though this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry and only the second chapter in the book of Mark, Mark doesn't waste time or words. Jesus has already garnered a huge following by healing and driving out demons. Chapter 1 ends by telling us that people came to Jesus from everywhere. So let's listen to the living word from Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. When he returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around, and there was no longer room for them, not even in the front of the door, and he was speaking words to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him, and after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there, questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once, Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified. They glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Most holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. May your Spirit stir us afresh and speak to us this day. Amen. Today is the first sermon in our series for the summer, Are You Ready for a Miracle? It is loosely based on Amy Jill Levine's book, Signs and Wonders, A Beginner's Guide to the Miracles of Jesus. Do you believe in miracles? Are they phenomena that people couldn't explain in their day and age? That now we know better because of science? I personally don't have problems with science versus religion, because if I think of all the things that we know how to describe in science, even science can describe these things. It may take a miracle and faith and God to have gotten to all the joy and the beauty of creation and life, the right factors all lining up in our world today. That in itself is a miracle. But Levine, in her book, emphasizes that we could argue the morality and the rightness or wrongness or the truth of miracles and get nowhere. Instead, she says, the point is they tell us things about Jesus, who he was, and then they intertwine that with the story of the people of Israel. Look at what he does, who he cares for, and what he says. The parables that contain miracles involve power and they involve awe. They turn our understanding of the world upside down many times because they seem to go against the rules that we have of the way things should be. They make us look at things. Often they bring us hope and they leave us changed. Levine ties many of the miracles that we hear about in the New Testament from Jesus to Old Testament scriptures. Similar plots, similar miracles, things that have happened that they would have been familiar with. Wonders of healing, taming nature, and surprises that transcend time. So this summer, we'll look at how they might also change us and still be in our midst, from the Old Testament to the New to now. Today's miracle is about a paralyzed man who's lowered through a roof. Levine sees this as a miracle that ties together health care and relationships. To grow to the kingdom of God, she says, requires us to care for each other. The paralyzed man's friends couldn't get into that crowded house, so they dug through the roof to lower him in. The next verse, we kind of skip over, but think about it. It should give us pause. When Jesus saw their faith, he forgave the sins of the paralytic. It isn't until further argument later on that the paralyzed man picks up his mat and walks. This story is more about the caring friends than it is about the actions of the paralyzed man. It's more about Jesus' authority to heal or to declare that God has forgiven a person of their sins. So today I want to focus on the caregivers. These friends of the paralytic, they didn't shun him, they didn't other him. We don't hear about him begging for help. In fact, he doesn't speak at all. His friends knew what he needed, and they did it. They had faith that what he needed was Jesus. They didn't other him. They picked him up and took him where he needed to go. Many of us are in the role of caregivers today. It's often a large job of sitting by a friend or a loved one through an illness, through a disease, a hard time. For some people, it's on an everyday basis of things that they need. Or it could be final days of cooking a meal, sitting with someone, praying for them, taking them to their doctor visits, an ill relative. And caregiving can even be a parental responsibility. Amen? And later in life, that role can reverse, where we end up caring for our parents. While this is sometimes all-consuming, these ties and these moments together can be precious, and they can be deeply, deeply enriching. By being there for one another, we help the world see those in need, and we care, and something other than that illness or difference becomes who they are to us. We provide for and connect with each other in special, special ways. We see one another at our most vulnerable, raw, open, and genuine. This builds trust and deepens our ties with each other. But what happens when the shoe's on the other foot? When it's our turn to need the caregiver, when our mat is the one that needs carrying, this comes with all the feels. We know we're not defined by that handicap or that need, yet too often we resist being the one who asks for care. We don't want to ask for help. This is shortchanging our friends and our loved ones. Many reasons happen here. Is it pride, independence, you name it? We have our reasons. We withdraw instead of asking for help. This week, I limped my way through camp with middle schoolers. And I didn't quite anticipate that the main auditorium was at the top of a ginormous hill. I could do these steps now, but I couldn't do that hill. I soon realized that I needed a ride several times a day, up and down the hill. And I had to impose upon leadership for care. The co-director, who's in the slide, Annie, was my chauffeur. Yet this was far from convenient for her. She's in charge of running the conference, and she has to stop and pick me up and down a hill on and off all day. So I apologized many times, constantly, until a youth from our group and Annie both told me, "This is not something you need to say sorry for. Receiving what you need and care, especially at a church retreat, is what's right." While I felt pathetic and my case is small, imagine those in our midst who are feeling this embarrassment, bruised desires for independence, anger, or maybe resentment at needing help and having to ask. Angst and grief at what might be permanent limitations on us. Blessed are the caregivers and receivers. Knowing that society builds up expectations for our independence, we prefer to be the helpers. We will inevitably be on both sides of this equation. And it's a tricky relationship with a lot of bundles of emotions in there. Breathe deeply and know that you are beloved. Say thank you instead of I'm sorry. Work on understanding when we find ourselves in the shoes of the caregiver. Develop patience. See the nuance that need brings to a relationship. How does it change the dynamic of how we're working together with each other? Receivers and caregivers are blessed by bringing their whole selves into this relationship, by the added weight of care needed and given. It keeps things real. Rather than allowing us to stay in a world that labels worthy and unworthy, we embrace each other in compassion and thus move closer to the kingdom of God by caring for one another. The paralytic wasn't cut off from his friends because of a disease. I like to think that the only reason he's not given a name and is just called the paralytic is so that we can put ourselves into his shoes. Jesus didn't require him to be clean or whole before he was forgiven. Jesus acted first based on compassion, based on care for friends, care of his friends. Relationship is that important. I've spoken about it before, but it bears repeating. Looking at relationships in the world today, the divisions are everywhere. But I found joy in soccer. And no, I don't like soccer. But the World Cup has shown us relationships. It has shown us silliness of cones put on statues, silliness of dancing in the streets, running bars dry, okay, yeah, forget that, church. But anyway, with your opponents in the streets, people you normally would not talk to, but instead you're celebrating with them. I've even seen video clips of exchanging jerseys with your opponent. I've never seen such things. And teams that came into town didn't want to leave their locker rooms messy for the cleaning services, so they left it cleaner than they found it. Some countries even travel with garbage bags. At first, they use them to wave for the fans, and then they clean up the stadium, not just waiting and expecting somebody else to clean up after them. If I pay thousands of dollars to go to a concert or a sporting event, I'm not sure I'm bringing my trash bag. And then there was a note from an anonymous Iranian player that thanked us for our hospitality and wished for world peace among all nations. You've got bagpipes, and yeah, we got rowing. The rowers in the Norwegian team, that became their thing. The fans could be involved in the whole game. Everybody could be included. You had a drum beat and you had rows. People pulling together. The soccer fans showed their care and their support by openly pulling together, enthusiastically supporting their players. Fans from across the world cared for one another in their joy and in their play. So taking our lead from that joy of being with and for one another, our goal at MPC is to pull together so that every child in Prince William County knows that we care. They know that we are here for them through our notes, through our crafts, our picnics, and the food we send during the year to their schools. We are pulling together so no child goes hungry. Even this summer, can we play the video? All right. So knowing that we all need a caregiver at some time or another, and knowing that we also can be the one caring, I challenge you. Can you guys pull together? I need help, Angie. So starting right here and right now, because we care. We care enough to work to serve all of God's beloved children. We start with the ones here that we can reach. Can you guys do this? All right, so the way this works, the drum will beat twice, and then you do, and you can say row or the Norwegian row. So practice once. All right, you guys ready? She's ready. Okay, let's go. Thank you. And thank you. Are you ready for the miracle of full bellies? Pulling together, caring enough in the name of Jesus Christ, we can change the world starting in Prince William County with the children. Amen. Let us stand together and sing our hymn, Dance.